Welcome to the Hackberry House of Cho Sun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. This is part seven. We're on the Lord's Day, September 1, 1745. It's at the Forks of Delaware. God gave me the spirit of prayer, and it was a blessed season in that respect. My soul cried to God for mercy in an affectionate manner. In the evening also my soul rejoiced in God. His private diary has nothing remarkable for the next 2 days, but what's in his public journal. Wednesday, September 4, rode 15 miles to an Irish settlement, preached there from Luke 14:22, where it says, "And yet there is room." God was pleased to afford me some tenderness and enlargement in the first prayer, and much freedom, as well as warmth, in the sermon. There were many tears in the assembly. The people of God seemed to melt, and others to be in some measure awakened. Blessed be the Lord that lets me see his work going on in one place and another. The account for Thursday is the same for substance as in his public journal. Friday, September 6, enjoyed some freedom and intenseness of mind in prayer alone, and longed to have my soul more warmed with divine and heavenly things. Was somewhat melancholy towards night, and longed to die and quit a scene of sin and darkness, but was a little supported in prayer. Lord's Day, September 8. In the evening, God was pleased to enlarge me in prayer and give me freedom at the throne of grace. I cried to God for the enlargement of his kingdom in the world, and in particular among my dear people. Was also enabled to pray for many dear ministers of my acquaintance, both in these parts and in New England, and also for other dear friends in New England. And my soul was so enlarged and engaged in the sweet exercise that I spent near an hour in it and knew not how to leave the mercy seat. Oh, how I delighted to pray and cry to God! I saw God was both able and willing to do all that I desired, for myself and friends, and his church in general. I was likewise much enlarged and assisted in family prayer. And afterwards, when I was just going to bed, God helped me to renew my petitions with ardency and freedom. Oh, it was to me a blessed evening of prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The next day he set out from the Forks of Delaware to go to Susquehanna. And on the fifth day of his journey, he arrived at Shamoking, a large Indian town on Susquehanna River. He performed the journey under a considerable degree of melancholy. Saturday, September 14, at Shamoking. In the evening, my soul was enlarged and sweetly engaged in prayer, especially that God would set up his kingdom in this place, where the devil now reigns in the most eminent matter. And I was enabled to ask this for God, for his glory, because I longed for the enlargement of his kingdom to the honor of his dear name. I could appeal to God with the greatest freedom that he knew it was his dear cause and not my own that engaged my heart. And my soul cried, "Lord, set up thy kingdom for thine own glory. Glorify thyself, and I shall rejoice. Get honor to thy blessed name, and this is all I desire. Do with me just what thou wilt. Blessed be thy name forever, for you are God, and you will glorify yourself. Oh, that the whole world might glorify thee. Oh, let these poor people be brought to know thee and love thee for the glory of thy dear, ever-blessed name." I could not but hope that God would bring in these miserable, wicked Indians, though there appeared little human probability of it, for they were then dancing and reveling as if possessed by the devil. But yet I hoped, though against hope, that God would be glorified, and that his name would be glorified by these poor Indians. I continued long in prayer and praise to God. I had great freedom, enlargement, and sweetness, remembering dear friends in New England, as well as the people of my charge. Was entirely free from that dejection of spirit with which I am frequently exercised. Blessed be God. His diary from this time until September 22nd the last day of his continuance among the Indians at Susquehanna is not legible by reason of the badness of the ink. It was probably written with the juice of some berries found in the woods, having no other ink in that wilderness. And so that for this space of time, the reader must be wholly referred to his public journal. On Monday, September 23, he left the Indians in order to return to the Forks of Delaware in a very weak state of body and under dejection of mind, which continued the two first days of his journey. Wednesday, September 25, rode still homeward. In the forenoon, enjoyed freedom and intenseness of mind and in meditation on Job 42, verses 5 and 6, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The Lord gave me clearness to penetrate into the sweet truths contained in that text. It was a comfortable and sweet season to me. Thursday, September 26, was still much disordered in body and able to ride but slowly. Continued my journey, however. Near night, arrived at the Irish settlement, about 15 miles from my own house. This day, while riding, I was much exercised with a sense of my barrenness, and verily thought there was no creature that had any true grace but what was more spiritual and fruitful. I could not think that any of God's children made so poor a hand of living to God. Friday, September 27, spent a considerable time in the morning in prayer and praise to God. My mind was somewhat intense in the duty, and my heart in some degree warmed with a sense of divine things. My soul was melted to think that God had accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, notwithstanding all my barrenness and deadness. My soul was also in some measure enlarged in prayer for the dear people of my charge, as well as for other dear friends. In the afternoon, I visited some Christian friends and spent the time, I think, profitably. My heart was warmed and more engaged in the things of God. In the evening, I enjoyed enlargement, warmth, and comfort in prayer. My soul relied on God for assistance and grace to enable me to do something in His cause. My heart was drawn out in thankfulness to God for what He had done for His own glory among my poor people of late. I felt encouraged to proceed in His work, being persuaded of His power, and hoping His arm might be further revealed for the enlargement of His dear kingdom. And my soul rejoiced in hope of the glory of God, in hope of the advancement of His declarative glory in the world, as well as of enjoying Him in a world of glory. Oh, blessed be God, the living God, forever. He continued in this comfortable, sweet frame of mind the two next days. On the day following, he went to his own house in the Forks of Delaware, continued still in the same frame. The next day, which was Tuesday, he visited his Indians. Wednesday, he spent mostly in writing the meditations he had in his late journey in Susquehanna. Thursday, he left the Forks of Delaware, traveled towards Crosswicksome, where he arrived on Saturday, October 5, and continued from day to day in a comfortable state of mind. There's nothing material in his diary for this day and the next, but what is in his printed journal. Monday, October 7, being called by the church and people of East Hampton on Long Island as a member of a council to assist and advise in affairs of difficulty in that church, I set out on my journey this morning, before it was well light, and traveled to Elizabethtown, and there lodged. Enjoyed some comfort on the road in conversation with Mr. William Tennant, who was sent for on the same business. He prosecuted his journey with the other ministers who were sent for, and didn't return until October 24. I'm reading, by the way, in between his notes, I'm reading from Jonathan Edwards, who put this book together. While he was at East Hampton, the importance of the business that the council were come upon lay with such weight on his mind, and he was so concerned for the interest of religion in that place, that he slept but little for several nights successfully. successively, in his way to and from East Hampton, he had several seasons of sweet refreshment, wherein his soul was enlarged and comforted with divine consolations in secret retirement, and he had special assistance in public ministerial performances in the house of God. And yet, at the same time, a sense of extreme vileness and unprofitableness. From time to time, he speaks of soul refreshment and comfort in conversation with the ministers that traveled with him, and seems to have little or nothing of melancholy, till he come to the west end of Long Island in his return. After that, he was oppressed with dejection and gloominess of kind for several days together. For an account of the four first days after his return from his journey, I refer the reader to his public journal. Monday, October 28, had an evening of sweet refreshing. My thoughts were raised to a blessed eternity. My soul was melted with desires of perfect holiness and perfectly glorifying God. Tuesday, October 29, about noon, rode and viewed the Indian lands at Cranberry. Was much dejected and greatly perplexed in mind. Knew not how to see anybody again. My soul was so sunk within me. Oh, that these trials might make me more humble and holy. Oh, that God would keep me from giving way to sinful dejection, which may hinder my usefulness. Wednesday, October 30. My soul was refreshed with a view of the continuance of God's blessed work among the Indians. Thursday, October 31. Spent most of the day in writing. Enjoyed not much spiritual comfort, but was not so much sunk with melancholy as at some other times. Friday, November 1. See the public journal. Saturday, November 2. Spent the day with the Indians and wrote some things of importance. And longed to do more for God than I did or could do in this present and imperfect state. November 3 and 4, he says to see the public journal. Tuesday, November 5, he left the Indians and spent the remaining part of this week in traveling to various parts of New Jersey in order to get a collection for the use of the Indians and to obtain a schoolmaster to instruct them. And in the meantime, he speaks of very sweet refreshment and entertainment with Christian friends, and of his being sweetly employed while riding in meditation on divine subjects, his heart being enlarged, his mind clear, his spirit refreshed with divine truths, and his heart burning within him while he went by the way and the Lord opened to him the scriptures. Lord's Day, November 10, at Elizabethtown, was comfortable in the morning, both in body and mind, preached in the forenoon from 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." God was pleased to give me freedom and fervency in my discourse. The presence of God seemed to be in the assembly. Numbers were affected, and there were many tears among them. In the afternoon, preached from Luke 14:22, where it says, "And yet there is room." Was favored with divine assistance in the first prayer and poured out my soul to God with a filial temper of mind. The living God also assisted me in the sermon. Well, the next day he went to Newtown on Long Island to a meeting of the presbytery. He speaks of some sweet meditations he had while there on Christ delivering up the kingdom to the Father, and of his soul being much refreshed and warmed with the consideration of that blissful day. November 5, 15, on Friday. Could not cross the ferry by reason of the violence of the wind, nor could I enjoy any place of retirement at the ferry house, so that I was in perplexity. And yet God gave me some satisfaction and sweetness in meditation, and in lifting up my heart to him in the midst of company. And although some were drinking and talking profanely, which was indeed a grief to me, yet my mind was calm and composed. And I could not but bless God that I was not like to spend an eternity in such company. In the evening I sat down and wrote with composure and freedom, and can say through pure grace it was a comfortable evening to my soul, an evening I was enabled to spend in the service of God. Saturday, November 16, crossed the ferry about 10 o'clock, arrived at Elizabethtown near night, was in a calm, composed frame of mind, felt an entire resignation with respect to a loss I had lately sustained, in having my horse stolen from me the last Wednesday night at Newtown. Had some longings of soul for the dear people of Elizabethtown, that God would pour out his Spirit upon them and revive his work amongst them. He spent the four next days at Elizabethtown, for the most part in a free and comfortable state of mind, intensely engaged in the service of God, and enjoying at some times the special assistance of his Spirit. On Thursday of this week he rode to Freehold, and spent the day under considerable dejection. Friday, November 22, rode to Mr. Tennant's, and from thence to Crosswickson. Had but little freedom in meditation while riding, which was a grief and burden to my soul. Oh, that I could fill up all my time, whether in the house or by the way, for God. I was enabled, I think, this day to give up my soul to God, and put over all my concerns into his hands, and found some real consolation in the thought of being entirely at the divine disposal, and having no will or interest of my own. I have received my all from God. Oh, that I could return my all to God. Surely God is worthy of my highest affection and most devout adoration. He is infinitely worthy that I should make him my last end and live forever to him. Oh, that I might never more in any one instance live to myself. Saturday, November 23, visited my people. Spent the day with them, wrote some things of importance, but was pretty much dejected most of the day. And there's nothing very material in his diary for the four next days, but what is also in his public journal. Thursday, November 28, I enjoyed some divine comfort and fervency in the public exercise and afterwards, and while riding to my lodgings was favored with some sweet meditations on Luke 9:31. Where it says, "Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." My thoughts ran with freedom, and I saw and felt what a glorious subject the death of Christ is for glorified souls to dwell upon in their conversation. Oh, the death of Christ! How infinitely precious! Now, for the three next days, you would have to see the public journal. Monday, December 2, was much affected with grief that I had not lived more to God, and felt strong resolutions to double my diligence in my Master's service. After this, he went to a meeting of the Presbytery at a place in New Jersey called Connecticut Farms, which occasioned his absence from his people the remainder of this week. He speaks of some seasons of sweetness, solemnity, and spiritual affection in his absence. Lord's Day, December 8, see his public journal. Monday, December 9, spent most of the day in procuring provisions in order to my setting up housekeeping among the Indians. Enjoyed little satisfaction through the day, being much out of my element. Tuesday, December 10, was engaged in the same business as yesterday. Towards night, got to my own house. Wednesday, December 11, spent the forenoon in necessary labor about my house. In the afternoon, rode out upon business and spent the evening with some satisfaction among friends in conversation on a serious and profitable subject. Thursday, December 12, see his public journal. Friday, December 13, spent the day mainly in labor about my house. In the evening, spent some time in writing, but was very weary and much outdone with the labor of the day. Saturday, December 14, rose early, wrote by candlelight some considerable time, and spent most of the day in writing, but was somewhat dejected. In the evening was exercised with a pain in my head. And for the two next days, see his public journal. The remainder of this week he spent chiefly in writing, some part of the time under a degree of melancholy, but some part of it with a sweet ardency in religion. Saturday, December 21, after my labors with the Indians, I spent some time in writing some things divine and solemn, and was much wearied with the labors of the day. found that my spirits were extremely spent and that I could do no more. I am conscious to myself that my labors are as great and constant as my nature will bear, and that ordinarily I go to the extent of my strength, so that I do all I can, but the misery is I do not labor with that heavenly temper, that single eye to the glory of God that I long for. Lord's Day, December 22, see the public journal. Monday and Tuesday, December 23 and 24, spent these days in writing with the most diligence, felt in the main a sweet mortification to the world, a desire to live and labor only for God, but wanted more warmth and spirituality, a more sensible and affectionate regard to glory of God. Wednesday, December 25, see the public journal. Thursday and Friday, December 26 and 27, labored in my studies to the utmost of my strength, and though I felt a steady disposition of mind to live to God, and that I had nothing in this world to live for, yet I did not find that sensible affection in the service of God that I wanted to have. My heart seemed barren, though my head and hands were full of labor. And for the next 4 days, the end of the year, you would have to see his public journal. You will notice again in this Christmas season, folks, not a word about the Christmas season. There was no Christmas season in the mind of a man of God of those days. Don't know exactly where it all started, but I wish it would go back wherever it came from. These people were not distracted by Lent. They weren't distracted by what's that other thing during the Christmas season? You know, 4 weeks of it. All the stuff that you've got to go through to get ready for the birth. Oh, please, where did we get all that? These men didn't have it, and they didn't seem to miss it at all. We'll start next time with January 1, 1746. And now I imagine that some of you are getting just a little frustrated with the fact that I keep referring to a journal, and yet I don't read from the journal. It is different from the diary. There is another document, and I found a link for it. If you'll just get your paper and pencil and copy down this link, you can read the journal online, free. You can buy it also. Be careful that you don't get the same book that I have, Life and Diary of David Brainerd. That's the diary. Be sure it says journal, and be sure when you read it, the description of it, that it's not talking about this, what I have. But the journal's there, and there are just little bits of history that are thrown in there, and a lot more commentary, and Jonathan Edwards speaks a lot more, I believe, in commenting on it. But I believe this will be a blessing to you. If you're really into David Brainerd and you want to know the whole story, just go to www.nts, N as in Nathan, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, NTS Library, ntslibrary.com. Got it so far? www.ntslibrary.com. And then a forward slash and the name Brainerd. And then an underscore, underline. And then journal.pdf. One more time. It's www.ntslibrary.com forward slash Brainerd underscore journal.pdf. If you try that and you can't find it, you get in touch with me and you show me what you actually used, and I'll tell you if you got it exactly right, and I'll help you find it. But I don't want you to be frustrated as I'm reading along here every time he comes to that see the public journal statement. There's not a whole lot more. You'll notice the wording, it looks a whole lot the same in places. But there are little historical facts that come out that could be of very good interest to you. Thank you so much for being here today. We'll do Brainerd, Lord willing, in another 3 days. Next couple of days will be my own works, Romans, and the Yes, We Will, or What's Next series. We'll talk about that when it comes up. Lots of other stuff on the website. Hope you go looking around. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, Lord willing. We will talk soon. Bye-bye.